Today is the 15th class of Kartik, October 14th, Rama Ekadasi. We're discussing Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The definition, we're carrying on with the definition of Ragatmika Bhakti, which is the standard direction that the practitioners or sadhakas of Raganuga Bhakti want to follow. Ishte Sorasiki Raga Paramavishtita Bhavet Tanmaiya Bhavet Bhakti Satra Ragatmakodita. We've been analyzing these words, Paramavishtita Ishta, and this is again Rag, a little more on Rag. The word rag, and we say purva rag. Purva rag. Rag means attachment. It also means color, which we've been discussing, like whitewashing the walls, and the walls of the heart are gray or black. And we, if you have a room with fresh plaster, it looks gray or blackish, the walls. And you get some chuna and pani, whitewash the walls, they call it whitewashing. So we use that as an analogy. The walls are the walls of the heart, and the whitewashing is the hearing, Shravanadasha. The hearing of Rasika Shastras describing the activities of the Ragatmika Bhaktas, their forms, their names and forms and relationships and services and pastimes in relationship to the divine couple of Radha Govinda Yugal. And by hearing these Leela Shastras, and these Rasa Granths, then that hearing process acts like a coloring. The hearing acts like rung. It acts like a color. It's interesting because it acts like a color which becomes attachment. Raga means color, raga means attachment. Rag. So when we hear, repeatedly hear, about the pastimes of the residents of Vrindavan, the Brijvasis, the Ragatmika Janas of Vrindavan, like Lalita Sakhi and Vishaka and Raghunath Das, Rati Manjari and Rupa Manjari, then that hearing process acts like coloring. It colors the heart, the black walls of the heart, the mundane attachments of the heart. Our hearts are full of mundane attachments and mundane attractions, which make the heart very dark and hard and black and unattractive to Krishna and unattractive to his associates. But as we hear, repeatedly hear at the platform of Shravanadhasha, then that hearing colors the heart. And as the heart becomes more and more colored, then it exhibits the qualities of attachment. Rag is interesting. The two definitions of the word rag. Rag means color, and rag means attachment. So now we just explain the two definitions of the heart in relation to hearing and developing attachment for the eternal associates of Vrindavan. And the degree of intensity of our attraction and attachment to the Brijvasis, or Ragatmika Janas of Radharani and Krishna, that's how much we can sincerely and determinedly follow the path of Raganuga Bhakti. In fact, that's the qualifier, that we're actually very, very attached to the residents of Vrindavan in a particular Stahibhav. But now we say, what is Stahibhav? And we say, who are the residents in Vrindavan? So we have no awareness, no understanding. You can't be attracted to something you don't know. You can't be attached to someone you never met. Can you be attached to a person you've never met? No. Mr. X loves you. Are you attached to him? Not really. Who is Mr. X? What does he look like? What does he do? So therefore, hearing about, learning, becoming knowledgeable about the residents of Vrindavan, and moreover, firstly, having any attraction to even wanting to hear about. That's where it begins. Do we even have an attraction to want to hear about the residents in Vrindavan? Or do we even have an attraction to want to hear about their pastimes? Probably not. In most cases, the honest answer would be no. I don't really. So therefore, intensive hearing is required in the association of devotees who are interested and best are fully attached to the residents of Vrindavan. They are Raghunuga Bhaktas, they are Rasika Vaishnavas. So this is how this word rag is presented in this verse, Ishte so rasiki raga paramavishtatabhavet. So rag means attraction or color, like the Sanskrit word ranga, ranga or rakta. Ranga means color, rakta means blood, like red. It's the same root. When the mind is completely colored with attachment for one object, a person is called rag. When our mind is completely colored with attachment for one object, is called rag. Sometimes you see some cloth, a piece of cloth has many colors on it, red and green, pink. But some pieces of cloth is solid, it's just solid red or solid green. So our minds have many colors, like rainbow. Everything from ultraviolet to infrared, and all the various shades and permutations of colors between ultraviolet and infrared. Orange and green and purple and all these different colors. But when the mind becomes one color, that means one attachment, Radharani, then your mind becomes golden, yellow. It doesn't mean you have jaundice. When you get jaundice, then your eyes look yellow, your skin looks yellow because you have a liver dysfunction, not digesting the fat, which is yellow in color. It goes into the bloodstream, I suppose, creates some yellow aura in the eyes and skin. For example, if we have rag for something, we will become naturally absorbed in it. Whatever you're attached to, you can become absorbed in. You're attached to computers, then day and night you're playing on computers. You can't pull the kid off the computer, even for dinner. His mother calls him, "Prasad, Prasad." "No, later, Prasad." He's so much attached to the computer. This is rag. And the mind can't move away from that thing. When one has rag, gives supreme absorption. When one actually has rag, he can become supremely. His mind is totally immersed in that object or that person, drenched in, colored by supreme absorption. Rag gives supreme absorption. The example. This is a very common example. So now we're discussing this rag, and this is the example. I don't think it's too pretty obvious example. In the material world, men have rag, natural attachment and attraction for women. So it's very easy and natural for the mind to become completely absorbed in woman. It's quite easy. It comes natural. And vice versa. The more the attachment, the more the absorption. We may be sitting far away from the object of attachment, but the mind will always be absorbed in that person if one's attached. That kind of absorption is called rag. It's natural. Krishna's eternal associate, Srimati Radharani, his associates like Radharani, Lalita, Rupa Manjari, they naturally have rag like this for Krishna. They didn't develop this by practice. The Brijvasis don't have any separate existence. Their minds are one with Krishna. and the technical term is tanmayi. They are always only thinking of Krishna's pleasure. They never enjoy independently of Krishna. There is nothing else that can take their minds away from absorption in Krishna. So this is, of course, the mentality and the swabhav, the nature and minds of the Brijvasis. And we are meant to follow them in their footsteps in devotion, because we want to go to Vrindavan. Our goal is to live in Vrindavan. That is our destination, our prayojana, our paramgati. To live in Vrindavan means one must be a Brijvasi. To be a Brijvasi, you have to have Vrajbhav, the bhava of Brijvasi. Become totally absorbed in Krishna. It's natural when one's pure. It's natural when one is attached to Krishna. The next question comes up, how does one become pure and how does one become attached to Krishna? What's the obvious answer? What's the best way? Harinam. Harinam is the best way to purify the mind, at least in the opinion of Lord Chaitanya. That's a good opinion. Cheto Dharvana Marjanam. Puram Vijayate? Sri Krishna Smaranam. No. Puram Vijayate Sri Krishna Archanam. Puram Vijayate Sri Krishna Sarasanganam. No. What is it? Puram Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So he said, this is the means to victory. This is the means to victory. This is the road to success. And he explains the seven benefits that this road will bring one. If you go on this road, you'll find nice food. If you go on this road, you'll find nice people. If you go on this road, you'll find nice accommodations. So if you go on some road, there's many things on the road, along the road. So there's seven great treasures of the holy name. So this is a very glorious and victorious path, Bhakti Marg, the path of Nam Sankirtan. Well, this is our means of purifying the mind and making our mind attached. Because our mind already, in its purified state, is naturally attracted to Krishna. This is the swabhava, it's called Atma Swabhav. Swabhav. Swabhavika. Swabhavik. Means the natural condition of a person. So what is the natural condition of the purified mind? Attachment to Krishna. Have you ever heard of the Bhagavad Gita? It says, Mamaiva Amsho Jivaloke. It says, Mama Amsha. Is your finger attached to your body? Yes, I hope so. And it's attached to your body because it's part and parcel of your body. It's your amsha. Mamaiva Amsho Jivaloke. So the jiva is a finger on the body of God. A jiva is amsha. He's part of God. He's eternally connected with God. This finger would be rather foolish if he thinks, I have nothing to do with this hand. I have nothing to do with this body. You say, you stupid. Where'd you get that philosophy? No, this is my philosophy. I am independent. I'm not connected to this body. I don't have any relationship with this body. So we say, I am not connected with God. I don't have any relationship with God. I am God. Isn't this a little foolish? Mamaivam cho jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana. So this is a purified state of mind. This is it's called Atma Svabhav. The Svabhav of the Atma is that I am eternally attached to Krishna. And somehow I've got some cockeyed idea, some crazy idea that I'm disconnected from Krishna. Just like the finger trying to preach this other finger. Oh, you know, I'm independent. Really, you're stupid. You're like me. You're connected to the hand the same as I am. So this is the Atma Svabhav. This is the natural. So the Brijvasis, they have this type of attachment to Krishna. It's natural. It's because the purified state of mind, the natural state of the mind, is to love Krishna, is to serve Krishna, is to be attached to Krishna. So all of this is superimposed. These conceptions are superimposed on the mind. I'm not the enjoyer, I'm not the controller, I'm not independent. So now, at present, we don't have rag for Krishna, we have rag for Maya. A man has a natural attachment, he has attachment for a woman, and whatever you're attached to, you can easily become absorbed in. So this is rag. It's a natural attachment, natural attraction. We're discussing about Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Vaidhi Sadhana, Raganuga Sadhana. What is rag? Rag is natural attachment. The Brijvasis, Nalita Vishaka, Sridham, Subal, Yashoda, Nanda, they all have rag. They're called ragatmika bhaktas. They're very atma. Their very atma is made of attraction and attachment. Natural, svabhavik, atma svabhav, svabhavik rag, natural attraction and natural attachment to Krishna. They can't think of anyone else. They're always thinking of Krishna day and night. They're always thinking of Krishna's pleasure. They never enjoy or even think about enjoying independently of Krishna. Like you think of us, you think you try to compare or contrast a Brijvasi to a devotee or an aspiring devotee like ourselves. And like if the Brijvasis are walking in a forest and they see an apple, as soon as they're on a tree or a mango on a tree, oh, that's so nice. This is beautiful, perfectly ripe. We should take this to Krishna right now. And then now that's what the Brijvasis think. Now what do we think? We walk along and say, oh, look at that mango. That looks really good. And you take it off the tree. Say, this is really nice. I think I'll eat this. I'm supposed to offer it. I'm supposed to offer it first to Krishna. That comes very late in the game. You know, we say, oh, that looks really nice. Must be ripe. I think it's very sweet. It's yellow and a little bit red on the tip. You know, I think, let me just take that. That's right. Oh. I have to take this back to my house and wash it off and cut it and peel it, put it on a plate and put tulsi on it and go in front of the Thakurji, put a little Ganga water to purify the dravya, and then chant some mantras and mula mantras and this and that and ding 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 and that and chant Gayatri or whatever, Kam Gayatri. Oh, so much botheration, so much trouble. Look, I'm hungry. I want to put the cereal in a bowl and then put the milk on and eat it. Why do I have to offer it? This is such a botheration, isn't it? This whole offering process. Well, who made this process? Look, I'm hungry. Why? I'm hungry. I come in the kitchen. Oh, no, you have to wait. You know, we have to. It's not offered yet. I don't care. Give me it. That's our mentality. Because we're like in Maya. We don't have rag for Krishna. It's not our svabhavik rag. We have rag for enjoying. But imagine the Brijvasis. They can't think for a second of any object disconnected or disjointed from Krishna. They see everything in relation to Krishna. When the gopis are dressing Radharani in the morning in Prataklila, and they wash their hair and they dry it with smoke from aloe wood and it becomes very fragrant and slightly shiny from the oil in the smoke. When the smoke is rising from the burning aloe wood, it simultaneously dries her hair and conditions it. So Radharani sits on a chair on a dais and her hair is hanging like this, and the mandris are brushing with their fingers, or a very broad-toothed comb, and then underneath there's a parat, and there's some wood there called aloe wood. And it's burning and giving nice smoke. And there's one mandri kneeling next to the wood, and she has a little fan, and she's going like this to make more smoke come up. So rich puffs and clouds of smoke are rising, and they're rising up, and they're passing through Radharani's hair. She's like long. Her hair is like all the way to her mid thighs, varoru. Middle of her thighs. Her hair is hanging there, and the smoke is passing and filtering through her hair, and the heat, of course, the smoke is hot. Smoke is not cold. Smoke is hot. And so that heat of the smoke is drying her hair, and the smoke is full, is a very oily wood, is full of oil. You ever see the walls of a kitchen where the smoke collects? It's called lamp black, or soot. In English, they say soot, or you say kajal. You know, if you take cotton, sui, wombati, what do you say, cotton?
Rui.
You take rui, and then you dip it in ghee, and then you put it in a little clay cup, and there's some other more ghee there, like a dia. Then above it, and above that, you take another little clay dish, like this, and make like a chatra. And then, so you have one clay, and you have some little things holding it up, like little sticks like this, like umbrella, holding your chatra, right? And then you have a little diya down here with ghee, and that's burning, giving off smoke. And that smoke is collecting on the, inside the chatra, that ghee smoke, and that's called kajal. So if you want to be a mandri, you better learn how to make kajal. I made it sometimes. So then, in that clay cup, then you collect that soot or that black smoke. Then you—it's called English. It's called mascara. Right? Mascara, eye makeup, eyeshadow, kajal. So Radharani always has kajal, and gopis always have kajal. Like these village kids, you always see these village children with their eyes like that. So this smoke is very oily and very warm. So Radharani Sarah, it's being dried but not dried out. So this is how they dry Radharani's hair. It's naturally so beautiful, so shiny, glossy. And now what I'm describing is, as they're drying Radharani's hair and dressing her, making her look very beautiful, when everything's complete and Pratek Leela about 6:30 in the morning, before she goes to Nandagram, they hold one body, what do they say, full length mirror. That's what's called full length, head to toe mirror. The mandris, they hold one full length mirror in front of Radharani, like we do in our temples. Like in the West, when we have Sringar Artik, we hold a mirror in front of the deities and Gopi Vallabha. But in the West, Prabhupada told us we should hold a mirror in front of the deities. Darpan, it's called Darpan Seva. Like us, you know, we don't get all dressed and run out of the house and not look at a mirror, is it? Is it possible? So they hold a mirror in front of Radharani. And when Radharani looks in the mirror, she says, Oh, Sakis Mandris, wonderful. You've done a wonderful job of bathing and ornamenting and dressing me. Everything looks so perfect, so picture perfect, so beautiful. Quickly, take me quickly. Let's take me quickly, as fast as possible, to Nandagaon so that Krishna can feast upon this beauty. I don't want one hair to go this way or that way, or one gopi dot to get smudged or wiped out or removed from my face. Quickly, take me, fast as possible. Because Radharani is only thinking at every second, how can I give pleasure to Krishna? Because she's a Radgatmika. She's a Ragatmika Bhakta. She's a Ragatmika devotee. The Brijvasis are called Ragatmikas. And the followers of the Brijvasis are called Raganuga Bhaktas. Raganuga. Anugata. They're Anugatya. They're Anugatya and they're Anugata. They're following in the footsteps and trying to attain a similar mood of dedication and a similar mood of attachment that the Ragatmika, it's called Ragatmika Brajajanas, to be technical, Ragatmika Brajajanas. The residents and Brijbasis, the Nityaparishads and associates and devotees of Krishna and Braj, they have this type of intense absorption and attachment in Krishna. And we are aspiring for that. That is desirable. That is what we want. And they have it. They have this Ragatmika Bhakti. And we are Raganuga Bhaktas, Sadhana Bhaktas. We are following that path of sadhana. We want what they have, not out of envy. Like generally, if somebody wants what someone has, it's because they're envious. Oh, you have so much money, I want it. And you're envious of that person. No, we're not envious of the mandris or the gopis. We admire them. We admire them, we worship them. We honor them. We respect them. They are our very wealth of our lives. Sri Rupa Manjari Pad, Se Mora Sampad, Se Mora Sampad, Sri Rupa Manjari Pad, the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari, of Rupa Goswami, they are our Sampad, they are our wealth, they are our mantra, japa, they are mantra, japa, they are our dharma, they are our religion, they are our mantra, the feet of Rupa Manjari, because she is the guru of Manjari Bhav. She is the Shiksha Guru of Raganuga Sadhana, Rupa Goswami. He is the Abhideya Acharya, and his deities of Radha Govinda, they are the Abhideya Tattva Thakur. So this rag is what we want. There's nothing else that can take the minds of the Brijbasis away from their absorption in Krishna. We're just the opposite. Everything takes us away. Everything around us, everything and every object around us and every person around us takes us away from our absorption in Krishna. What is an example of that? Every morning we sit down to chant something called japa. Are we totally absorbed in japa? Yes? No. I doubt it. Why? Because our minds are being taken away to this object, to this person, to this idea, to this action, to this duty, things to do today, things I forgot to do yesterday, or things I hope to do tomorrow, or things I will never do in this lifetime. But anyway, the mind goes there. So we're not absorbed. So see the difference between the Brijvasi and us. We have to become Brijvasis, and we are Bhogavasis, or whatever, I don't know, what do you call it? We are Narakvasis. We're living in the hell of our own minds. Because the mind's taking us everywhere but to Krishna's lotus feet, and taking us everywhere but to the pastimes of Krishna. And we read this, oh, Brijvasis are like this. They have supreme absorption in Krishna. There's nothing else can take the minds of the Rupa Manjari away from absorption in Krishna. So therefore, this is desirable position, this is a desirable platform to be at. So therefore, Vandanam. Vandanam is such an important aspect of Krishna Bhakti. Krishna Vandanam. To offer prayers to Krishna. So this is, Vandanam is aspect of Vaidhi Sadhana. Vandanam means prayer. So even in the Raganuga Sadaka will pray to Rupa Goswami, oh Rupa Goswami, oh Rupa Manjari, you are totally absorbed in Krishna. There is nothing and no object, no camera, no person, no object that can take your mind away from Krishna. But I am not like that. And I want to become a Raganuga. I want to become a Rupanuga, a follower of Rupa Manjari, of you, Rupa Goswami. So I can't follow you unless I can walk with you. And I can't walk with you unless I can think like you. And I can't think like you unless you bestow your mercy upon me. So therefore, Sri Rupa Manjari Pad, Se Mora Sampad. So I'm praying. This is a prayer by Narottam Das Thakur in his bhajan, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. And you can formulate your own prayers if you don't know Bengali or Sanskrit or Hindi or whatever. You can say, Rupa Manjari, you are a Ragatmika Jana of Braj. Please, I'm singing this song, and it has so many meanings, but anyway, the main meaning of, in my mind is, you're totally absorbed in the service of Radharani. You're our dearest Priya Manjari. You're a Pran Sakhi, Nitya Sakhi, Pran Sakhi, Manjari. You're a Paliyadasi of Radharani. And what is your characteristic? What is your Lakshana? What is your Srup Lakshana? Your Srup Lakshana, your main characteristic is that at every second, you are completely attached to Radharani and completely absorbed in her happiness and pleasure. When, oh when, will that day be mine? Kale habe bolase dinamar. All right, that's on that kind of intimate, confidential service position. That is the goal, that's the prayojana. But where am I? I am sitting here with the holy name of Radha and Krishna, Yugal. Radha and Krishna, Yugal. Kunjabihari, Yugal Kishore. Rupa Manjari, I want to go there to that Kunja Seva, to do Seva in the Kunjas. Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. But now I'm chanting the holy name, so please help me to become totally absorbed in the holy name. You're chanting 1 lakh every day, that's minimum. And the other Goswamis are chanting more. But you're chanting 1 lakh every day, and you're writing so many books, and you're having so much Harikatha as a sadhaka, as an exemplary sadhaka. Sankhya Purava Kanama Gana Natibi. Vande Rupa Sanatana. Sri Jiva Gopalako. Srinivasacharya, he's telling the nature of the sadhaka rup, the devotee form in this world of Rupa Goswami, the Sankhya Purava Kanama Gana Natibi, that he's Sankhya Nam, Sankhya Gan, so many songs and stotrams by number he's chanting every day, Sankhya. So many mantras and so many malas of the holy name he's chanting every day, Sankhya Nam. And Natibi, Natibi means dandavats. Natibi means respects or dandavats. So many times he's offering dandavats to his seniors and to the Leela Stalis. So we pray to him in our sadhaka rup, as what we are. Please bless me, I can become totally absorbed and attached to the holy name of Radha and Krishna. Sometimes the Braja Gopis are praying that Krishna will get out of their minds so they can execute their household duties. Because Krishna is so much occupying their minds and so much drawing them. Krish means to draw. Krish means karshan, means to draw, to pull, to attract, to compel, to force. Krishna is always sitting in their minds, so he's always pulling their minds. Their minds are always being pulled, Krishna, Krishna. And they have so many sevas to do. They are gopis, brajacharis, brajagopis, brajavadu. They have to sweep the floor every morning, they have to cook, they have to prepare the ghee, they have to make the buttermilk, and then of course the ghee. And they have to milk the cows and feed the cows, and so many sevas and domestic chores they have to do every day, duties. And if Krishna is sitting on their mind, pulling them this way and that way with so many thoughts and remembrances and feelings and bhavas and different ecstasies, then they become dysfunctional. They can't sweep, they can't cook, they can't grind, they can't churn. They have to churn and cook and grind and sweep. Many, many things gopis have to do. Churn the yogurt and grind the spices and sweep the floors and decorate and many things. And they do all of that, while doing Sankirtan. In 9th chapter, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, it describes one gopi and when she's doing her morning duties, her morning sevas, her household sevas. And she's churning yogurt into butter before sunrise and before anyone even wakes up, before her husband wakes up and before her children wake up. She's making taza makan, fresh butter, because her child loves fresh butter. He loves it so much that he steals it and breaks into people's houses and searches for the freshest butter in town. Sometimes you may be shopping and you're looking for some fresh item. So you go in one supermarket for some yogurt and you look at the expiry date and it says expires yesterday. You say, oh. And you say, don't you have any fresh yogurt? No, our supply comes. Okay, and then you leave that store and you go to another store. People in the West, the discerning shopper will go to the shop, or he'll look through all the, he'll see in the freezer container, he'll see many yogurt, he keeps looking at the bottom. Expiry date, oh, that was yesterday, ooh. Oh, expiry date, November 1st, 2009. Oh, this is very, very fresh. Yeah, I'll take this one. This is if you're a little bit, have a brain when you shop, modern shopper. So Krishna's the same way. When Krishna breaks into some gopi's house to steal butter, then he puts his hand in the pot and he smells it. Oh, what's the expiry date? He looks on the bottom of the clay pot and he sees the expiry date. This butter was made yesterday? Ah! And he takes and he goes into the baby room where the baby is and he smears his butter on the baby's face, then pinches him and runs out. And the baby cries, ah! And he didn't. Krishna and that lady, her whole life was nishfal, was fruitless, because she made that butter, but it was stale. It was one day old. It was past the expiry date. So Krishna didn't take it. He just smeared it on the face of her baby and ran away, disgusted. So this gopi, she wants to make very, very fresh butter. She was making it before sunrise. churning. And this gopi is Yashoda, Krishna's mother. And while she's churning the yogurt and the butter, then she's singing beautiful sankirtan, Leela Kirtan, about Nandalal, about Yashodalal, Yashodanandan, and his various activities. So this way, her mind is fixed on Krishna, at the same time she's doing her activities. Because she's in Vatsalya Bhav. So Vatsalya Bhav gives a little bit of mobility. Vatsalya Bhav gives a little bit of ability to remember Krishna and also do your morning activities. But Madhurya Bhav doesn't allow that. The Madhurya Bhav of the Braja Gopis that are in love with Krishna, his lovers, his kantas, they're also thinking of Krishna, but their absorption is so deep and so condensed and so complete that they can't even function. Therefore, they turn to prayer. They pray to Krishna, "Oh Krishna, please get out of our minds. We can't fix our minds on our sweeping because our minds are just being swept away by your attraction. So we can't sweep our houses. And we can't fix our mind on churning our yogurt because our minds are being churned by manmata manmata. You are sakshad manmata manmata. You are the personification of the churner of the churner of the minds. You are directly sakshat manmata manmata. Cupid or Kandarpan is manmata. He churns the mind. So please, Krishna, we want to churn. Please get out of our minds so we can churn this yogurt into butter for your pleasure. Because now your attraction, your sweetness, your pastimes are churning our minds and we can't fix them on the yogurt. So they can't sweep because Krishna is sweeping away their minds. And they can't churn because Krishna is churning their minds. And they can't grind. They can't grind the gehun into atta. Because every morning they make fresh flour. They don't go to the chucky once a year and get flour. In the villages now you go once every 2 weeks. In Delhi, the people who live in Delhi, they buy 100-year-old flour. 200-year-old atta. It's completely stale, has no fragrance, has no taste. If you eat a chapati in Delhi, you die. You can't understand how people eat those chapatis. And here Maharaj eats a chapati. So this looks like some paper. It tastes like some paper from the trash can. No, this is MP atta. Oh, MP means it's good or something. I said, this is good for nothing. You come to Vrindavan, you come to Radhakund, and we'll show you what a roti is. You know, the chucky. I have a chucky over there on the well. There's a chucky, you know. Two big stones. And you put so this is what the gopis have. You see on the top of that well, there's two stones, 4 inches thick, those big gray things. So they have a chucky. Chucky means a stone grinder, a hand grinder. So every morning, the gopis put the gehon in the center, and then they grind it. So they grind that fresh gehon or wheat into flour, and that's what they make into the chapatis. They don't have any rolling pins. They have these. Hot panaya. They take the dough, and they squeeze all their love and prema into the dough, then... And they cook on the cow dung. The gopis cannot do that. They cannot grind the gehun and the atta. So what do they say to Krishna? Krishna, you are grinding our minds. Thoughts of you and remembrance, you're grinding our minds into powder. Our minds are being ground into powder and sprinkled on the ground of Vrindavan. We can't even find our minds. There's so many fine... You've ground our minds into such fine particles. Kan kan bole radhe radhe. You ground our minds into such fine particles that we can't even collect them anymore. Like china, like this glass bone china. This glass called china. If you drop it on the ground, you can't glue it back together again. It splinters into such fine particles, you cannot glue it back together again. Very fine, costly glass. It's called bone. It's china. It's a type of glass. So the gopis say, they're praying to Krishna, please get out of our minds so we can grind the flour. So Krishna is churning their minds, grinding their minds, sweeping their minds, so that they can't do any household duties. Whereas we can do everything but remember Krishna. We can work on the computer, we can drive the car, and everything, but we can't remember Krishna. We can't become absorbed in Krishna. We can't pull Krishna into our minds. Just the opposite. And we're praying, oh Krishna, I'm sweeping the floor, I'm trying to remember you, but I can't. I can remember the broom, and I can remember the floor, and I can see the broom and the dust, but I can't see you. I can't see your lotus face or your lotus eyes or your peacock feather sitting on your chuda, your hair knot, top knot. This is extraordinary. All the yogis, all the greatest yogis and munis and rishis, they're doing intense austerities and penances to control their senses and minds so they can acquire and develop sufficient tapabalam to fix their minds on the feet of Krishna. Charna for a second or a minute, and that's their whole endeavor and their whole aspiration is to keep Krishna in their minds for a second or a minute of 60,000 years of meditation in Satyuga. Oh Krishna, please somehow be pleased with my tapabalam and my intense desire in Sankalpa. Will you allow your lotus feet to appear in my mind just for a minute? Just sit on my mind for a minute. Sit on the lotus of my mind for a minute. Let me have a glimpse of the toenails of your feet. And what are the gopis saying? Krishna, get out of our minds! Out! Get your feet out of our minds. Get your face out of our minds. We have work to do. Now, jao! Get out! Krishna, jao! And what are the yogis saying? Krishna, ow! Krishna, ow! Ow, ow! Krishna, come! Krishna, come! Jaldi, ow! Jaldi, ow! Vitar, Vitar, Jaldi, Vitarao, come inside. And the gopis are like, ciao, get out. The most extraordinary bhav, Braja bhav, gopi bhav. Gopi bhav ki, jai. Gopi bhava samritabdi lahari kalola magna muhu. So they're praying, Krishna, get out of our mind. Rag means supreme absorption that just happens. It just happens. We say, love at first sight. It just happens. You don't go to school. You don't go to college to learn how to be attracted to a woman. Woman attraction, course 101. Womanly attraction, course 201. Womanly attraction, 301. Right? Psychology 101, 201, they have courses like this. You know, I just graduated. I have a master's degree in womanly attraction. Really? I didn't have to go to school for that. That was automatic. That was natural. I turned 12 years old or 13 and then I got a degree. I got an honorary degree without even attending the college. I was giving an honorary degree from Harvard. Harvard School of Womanly Attraction. Oxford School of Manly Attraction. Little girl turned 13 and said, oh, boys, oh, hello, what's your name? It's a natural. It happens. It just happens as rivers flow towards the ocean. It's natural. The Brijvasis' minds, they naturally flow towards Krishna. Similarly, the minds of materialistic people, they naturally go to sense objects. But they keep fluctuating from one object to another, but they never come to Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj has a verse like that. No matter what you do to try to encourage people to go to Krishna, or even ourselves for that matter, you could say this verse applies to devotees also. Matirna Krishne parato satova. So, mito bipadyate grihavartanam. It says, Siddhanta gobir vishitanta mishram. Isn't it? That's how it goes. It says, no matter what you do, you try to give some good advice to someone, or give some good direction, or give some good books, and try to encourage matirna krishne paratosa tova. Matirna krishne, their mati doesn't go to Krishna. They don't think of Krishna. They don't have any idea for Krishna. Even if you try to give good instructions or show a good example or encourage them, you should think of Krishna, you should worship Krishna. They have no interest. You know, they're attached to sense gratification. They're absorbed in sense objects. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying this. So the verse is saying, by our own efforts or by instructions of others, the material sense enjoyers will never change their tendency of their minds to run towards sense objects. In the same way, the Brijvasis naturally run towards Krishna. Their ras, their swaras, because that word is there in this definition of Ragatmika Bhakti, ishte sorasiki raga, parama vishtata bhavet, tanmayi yabhavet bhakti, satra ragatmikodita. Ragatmikodita. This is the definition of a ragatmika, whom we want to follow on the platform of Ragnuga Sadhana. Their swaras, their taste, their own taste is in Krishna only. Our swaras is for material possessions. We have ras, taste, attachment, swaras. This is a swarasiki, or swaras of the Brijvasis, Krishna. And our swaras is maya, or the material sense objects. We have taste for them. Material possessions, material activities, material objects. But Brijvasis' minds are one-pointed, fixed on Krishna. Manjaris, the Paliyadasis of Radharani, the Manjaris, we hear about Manjari Bhav, Gopi Bhav, they have no separate consciousness besides or in addition to Krishna's happiness. It's interesting that this term is there in botany, in study of plants, botany. You have a stem, you have leaves, you have flowers, you have seeds, you have fruits. Everyone is familiar with these words, I think so. The stem, the trunk, the leaves, the flower, the fruit, the seeds. But there's something additional, and it's called the manjari. Manjari is the, you could say, it's another name for saying flower bud. Bud. When the rose, before a rose opens, it's called a bud. It's closed, the rose flower. And then it opens up. So in Sanskrit, this is called manjari. There's full and manjari. Full means flower. You know, the patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, like this. So this bud, before the flower opens, is called manjari. So the manjaris, they're attached to the plant. Right? They don't exist separate. The manjari is attached to the plant. It's getting its water from the plant, it's getting minerals, it's getting nourishment, it's getting sun and ultraviolet rays from the sun, and it's attached. So the manjaris, this is the Paliyadasis, the young gopis that serve Radharani directly and her pastimes of love with Krishna. They're called manjaris. Technically, they're called pran sakis or nitya sakis in terms of the category of sakis they are. They're called pran. They're like the very life breath of Radharani. Radharani inhales, they inhale. Radharani exhales, they exhale. Rechaka, was it Kumbhaka, all this thing. If Radharani holds her breath, the manjaris hold her breath. If Radharani laughs, the manjaris laugh. If Radharani cries, the manjaris cry. They are tanmay with Radharani. They are pran saki. Pran means the life breath, the very force of existence is called pran, what maintains our life and controls all the movements and functions of the body. It's called pran. There's pancha pran. Pran saki, manjaris. The manjaris have no separate consciousness besides Krishna's happiness. As manjaris are connected to a plant, if you separate the manjaris from the plant, they will dry up. The same way, if you separate the manjaris from Krishna, they will dry up. The manjaris are made of attachment to Krishna. So this term we hear oftentimes, tanmayi. What does tanmayi mean? Tanmayi means impelled by thirst. Actually, we should continue this tomorrow because I forgot there's two other classes. This is of primary interest. So these are some notes that are being incorporated into a book we're working on. And we're just sharing some of those with you.